Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post-Credit Scene podcast.
Oh, what a weekend.
So?
Weekend of, bro, I'm in such a good mood because of that series, man.
So?
Such a good mood because of that series. Oh, I can't believe people, when I saw the Rotten Tomatoes and I hadn't watched the episode yet, I was like, oh.
4%.
It's really good, man. It's a really good season of TV.
See, season one got 100%.
Not surprising.
Yeah.
Not surprising. Season two would have as well, no?
Season two is like 99.
Right. So it's just decreased in rain.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy, because season two and four are really good seasons of TV, man. Ah, summer is here, and it's not leaving us alone, bruv. This heat is so peak, man. How are you coping with it?
It's nice and cool here, though.
Today's nice in here, yeah, nice in here.
I went to the other day and I got bitten quite a lot.
Did you?
Yeah, man, I've been a bit itchy ever since, my legs particularly, and parts of my hand. But yeah, it's kind of jarring. I need to sleep well because of it.
Oh, man.
That's annoying.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world.
Do you sleep with like a fan on?
No, I don't sleep with a fan.
Yeah, I try not to, you know.
It's
not good for you, man.
My bed is right next to my window, so I try to crack open my window. But I got a lot of stuff by my windowsill.
Yeah.
So I don't want to open my window all the way up, because I feel like we can start falling on people's heads and then I get down for manslaughter.
Okay.
How big is the shit you got on the windowsill?
I live on the 8th floor. It doesn't have to be that big.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Okay. That's
he's been good, though. I've semi-enjoyed it. If you have a long day, it's long. Because if I'm sweating for 12 hours, long day.
What were you doing that made you sweat for 12 hours?
I feel like most of my activities is going to meet people somewhere, and then just that journey alone is just enough just to make burn up time.
Especially if you're on the central line.
Oh my
God. Oh my day.
Awful line, man.
I actually think I think Bakerloo's worse. But who could if he gets to Bakerloo?
At this point, they all stink other than Elizabeth in terms of heat.
Lizzie actually, is fantastic.
The Met line's cold.
I have no reason to use the Met.
The Met line too.
Hampshire City line goes to Westminster.
Okay,
Edge Road.
No, I thought it was.
I don't use no Met line.
Was it Edge Road?
yeah, well, very good.
That's so racist, man.
That's crazy. Yeah, you. I don't even want to give you a blind, or I can't, so you can't even get back at her. I'm sorry. I can't.
She said what? No,
that's crazy. Well, let's crack on today, because it's a big day. It's a big day.
I didn't even realise we started until you guys started talking. I was like, wait, they actually took it.
Yeah. It's a big day today. Two important projects have come out in recent days, which we're excited to dive into. We are the Post-Credit Scene Podcast, a 14 HQ original, lovers of film, TV and theatre. Back in the stew. Big one today. Manny, how are you?
I'm fine, Mr. 20,000.
That's a good, you know what? That's a good flip, you know. That's a good flip.
Thank you.
How does it feel?
It's cool. No, it's nice, man. It's cool.
What's it, Road to 30?
I'd
celebrate 21 anyway.
I mean, I'd say so for sure. But it's also just when you meet people through like a thing like that, and you can build connections with people, talk to people about.
So far?
In terms of what though?
Everything you've done outside of this. I feel like you're always really busy and I love it.
I've met some really cool people, man. Yeah, so Jay, you know Jay already. He's on fucking 300K or something on TikTok.
I had a really bad fan-ish moment with him.
Oh, how did it go?
Okay, so
this may be good.
But the thing is, I don't think he thinks he's fan-ish. I think he just thinks I'm weird. So for me, it's fan-ish.
There's no way somebody thinks you're weird.
I mean,
right? Okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I clocked it.
I first saw him on TikTok, and I followed him straight away. I'm like, he's so cool. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I was going through serial and everything, And he followed me back. I was like, told guys was like, yeah, he's cool people. I was like, guys, no. He followed me back. This is a big deal for me. Then I just thought he was short in real life, but he's actually much taller. So when I saw him at the Last of Us thing, he was in the lift with someone else.
You saw him.
I think I've met him before, in passing, but it's the first time I actually met him properly. So in the lift, I think I'm on the phone to my friend, I think that's someone that I really like, some TikToker that I really like. And I think he heard me. I didn't, So I got the list, I sat silent and just look around. But also, I was following them because I knew he was going to the Last of Us.
Dark skin guy.
Yeah, that's typical.
And then when we get there, guys is like, meet him properly. And it's like, James. And I was like, hi, it's really lovely to meet you. He was like, yeah, I just saw you in the lift.
So he
definitely heard me.
That don't sound like you. That's weird.
Yeah, so he definitely heard me.
You also met him at the Christmas film that we watched.
No, he weren't there for that.
He was there.
Not for that. The Chris Evans one that I didn't like.
Oh my gosh, Red Nose, Red Night one.
Yeah, I didn't like that film.
Red One.
Red One, that's it.
No, but you know when you meet people like that and they're like, you got big numbers and that, but you're just super down to earth and cool.
I didn't even know he had big foot.
Yeah,
he's normal.
He's just a normal
people,
guy.
Their followers aren't normal.
Yeah, but he came up to me and I was like, yo,
never stop being normal, okay?
Go on, so you finish first.
No, he's look up, please.
No, I was just saying I can't change because it's got this fucker anyway. You won't let me, so it's fine. Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, as long as you're still normal, that's what that matters.
I'd like to think I'd be normal, man. But you know, it's cool, it's nice, and just hopefully me and the pod as well continue to grow, man.
Grow to 30k.
Because you know what it is as well. I was speaking to Hashi, funnily enough, because he congratulated me, and I said to him, I wouldn't be able to do this without the people that I'm around. Do you know what I mean? So the pod, one, two, Manny's has been... No, I'm being super serious though. Manny, two, like proper, always like uplifting my work. Three, Ken, who like, I didn't have a relationship with him last year, but proper like nice guy, gives advice, critiques, etc. So you're nothing without your community. So yeah.
You know, I can't like, even like we were talking about when you saw the post yesterday at the work, and we were like, bro, it's beautiful to see. Like,
appreciate it, man.
We were all like, that's the goal for like everybody here. You know what I mean, okay, for like that's the, it's the point. If we can affect 5% of what you do, that's wavy. You know?
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, run it, bro. Keep going strong, and we pray safe for everyone else, man. You know what I'm saying? In this room.
If I congratulate you on 21, that you're gonna be like,
I won't be a. Yeah, you. But then Bisola, how are you?
Yes, you're gonna be the exact same person. Yeah,
exactly. Because I congratulated him on 13k.
But it's never intentional.
No.
I think it's like I have a Kami effect, but so I don't even mean to be
in,
a.
No, in my defense, yeah. Remember, I said he's gonna hit 20k really soon, yeah.
Yeah.
And I said like 13k because I want to get there before you hit 20. So I know you congratulate you along the way, and you were like, doesn't really count as a number, not really.
No, it wasn't like that though. Don't do that. No, don't do that. Like, oh, no, what it was, I said like milestones are like fives. You go fives, like. You don't celebrate the 13, you celebrate the 15.
Why not?
You can.
You deserve it.
Okay, but I wouldn't.
You got, one day he was on 10, the next day I saw it, he was on 13. Is that not progression? That's crazy. Is that...
We've been on like 3.9 for so, or 3.8 or something for so long. But when we hit 4, I'm screaming.
Fair.
I'm celebrating everything.
No, you celebrate.
I believe in celebrating everything.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah. Bisola, how are you?
I'm really well. Surviving. Back from Paris. Jeez. Life is.
Could you get up to anything naughty naughty out there, pal?
Obviously.
Well, I turned 25 out there.
Jeez. That deserves a round of applause.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. My first Fête de la Musique, and first time I DJed at Fête as well.
Come on, you've been like booked and busy though.
You've been on fire, bro.
I know, glory to God, but I'm exhausted, guys.
Is it because it's like festive season?
Summer is always a really peak period of time, but it's the earliest it's been. This peak.
What do you prefer doing, DJing or talking about film and TV?
I love it all.
To be fair, like I think
everyone's got a favorite child.
Real parents do.
Yeah. Makes us money. You know what I mean?
So. You'd know. You're probably your mum's favorite.
I am my mum's favorite.
So yeah, everyone's got a favorite child.
I'm
shocked.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Your sister probably.
Yeah. I heard what your sister does. Yeah. She's my favorite as well.
My sister is
because it's not you or your brother.
Yeah.
why not his brother though?
Wait, firstly, you have a brother.
I have a brother, yeah.
Yeah, so it's definitely your sister. In fact, I don't know you have a brother.
Yeah, that's bad because I didn't know you had a brother. So you, you're a piece of shit.
I have an older brother. Yeah.
That's
even older than you. Yeah, it's definitely.
That's bad.
Yeah.
So it was good. You had a good time.
I had a great time. Everyone should come out next year. It's so much fun. I'm gonna throw a party out there next year.
Okay,
for sure. Yeah, Fête de la Musique and Paris smells like absolute shit, guys.
For sure.
Smells like absolute shit. Like it smells so bad. I'm surprised. Like Paris is walking around. I'm like, do you not smell that? Like, how do you guys not smell that?
They do. They just like used to it.
Yeah, really? I do think you get used to your environment.
I don't think I can get used to that. Third day out there, when I came back to London, I was like, London smells good. Is that not crazy?
That's crazy.
Is that not crazy? I was literally on a Victoria, like, this smells fantastic.
Okay, yeah.
Can you understand the standard?
Yeah, it's peak.
Yeah, the metro smells like shit. Someone's in the corner shit. I don't care what it says.
All right, fair. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every corner in Paris.
100%. 100%. But yeah, I was in these streets till like 5 a.m. Do you know what I miss? Yeah, public I miss service. The no sound restrictions. London open air events fucking suck because you have to be out of there by like 10, 11,
yeah,
because someone's gonna complain about the noise and da 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 da. But out there, we were on the street till like 5, 6 a.m.
This country is notoriously conservative in terms of not just politics but behaviour and the way we conduct.
Really, it sucks, man.
So like,
we could all be smiling if we were on the streets till 5 a.m.
Facts.
Yeah, but sound system on the corner.
I don't know, you know.
A sound system on the corner at 4-5 a.m. will be happier, I promise you.
I think this is the gap between us, because I actually like, kind of like being at home kind of early now.
No, but it's not about I've been outside, it's having the option to be outside. I think that's the difference.
You can't do it at all in London.
Fairs. Huss.
Oh, yes.
How's things?
Yeah, good, man. Yeah. Good. Been a busy week. Funnish week.
Have you been up to?
Those are the right questions to ask as well.
Yeah, that was a good question, but now you put me on the spot because I have done much and now I sound boring. So here we are, man. There was a few screenings in during the week. I didn't go to any of them.
Yeah, so I was gonna say, because they're in the group chat, so I know you didn't go to any. So I don't know why you're gonna lie.
Any of them, but I was just busy times. But good busy, man. Like there's somebody painting my office right now. He's painting it white because we're doing a renovation. It's gonna be really, really cool. So.
Change of environment always.
Change of environment into our busy season as well. So we thought, why not motivate staff to.
You? Yeah.
This guy is fucking M&M's.
Last week, we were podding with Eli. Good episode, by the way. Eli was really good.
No, Eli's really funny. I don't know if I'm laughing at the right moments.
Please, just be careful what you say.
No, I love him. I do love him. I commented on the TikTok.
Yeah, you did.
When he was like, I'm not trying to start something, then proceeded to start a bunch of stuff. Mm. And I was like, I love a little messy babe as well.
Do you know, so jokes, each clip that we put out with him has just got like bare. Interacting with a good or bad, like someone's got something to say, which is cool.
I think he's so funny. He's hilarious, guys.
My favorite thing as well, yeah, is that the wave of support that we've got for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I feel so vindicated. Like, is that the right word?
Vindicated is a word you can use for sure.
Yeah, I feel so vindicated. Yeah, I'm using that from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And like, I'm so gassed.
Vindicate
your first
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's kind of crazy.
Thank you.
Remember what happens in Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
it's the word Holt. Okay, when he proved Jake right. Okay, he goes vindication.
Okay, that's more understandable. But vindicate is like a very noble.
Yeah, word. I was saying the same thing.
Oh, okay.
I like the word though because it's not used like often.
Yeah, but the fact that he's like, oh, but from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, as what? Opposed to like from the dictionary.
That's don't you just have words you like?
No, yeah, but it's like, not from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I wasn't actually really trying to support. I kind of went into my own lane. You know, we just have words that are cool to use.
Yeah, mine's, nah.
You can't, I can never think of mine until I use them, and then I use them, and I'm like, oh yeah,
I'll be it, it's mine, but that's small.
What's yours?
I'll be it.
Oh, be it, yeah. When you're writing, I can imagine when you're writing, use that as well, Kim.
Like the educated. Like the hood one that's used quite a lot is like, Fevermore.
What?
that's a hood word.
The furthermore version of the hood version of furthermore is tutus.
No, furthermore is the word.
Furthermore is the word.
Oh man,
bro, they'll get angry tutus. And then to sound smart,
you say
okay,
no, you say both.
They'll go tutus. Furthermore though,
not back to back, but and they'll say furthermore, they'll also say tutus. But they'll say furthermore is like a commonly used word.
Thank you.
Hood word.
They're
well read. Most people are actually well read anyway. Like,
yeah.
They're the smart ones.
Yeah, but this is not. It's not.
Where was you going?
This is not America.
Okay. Well, we've got a really tough task. We've got to split our time into half and talk about two of the biggest projects of the year that cross over into different mediums of the art form we love in film and TV. Kids, please, just don't drop any, yeah? He dropped them in the last episode on the floor. He's M&M's.
You're grown up.
It was peak, I know.
Then you actually hear like...
What M&M's are they?
The crispy ones.
Crispy.
Oh, man.
The best ones.
They're the best ones.
They're not.
It's the best.
You're peanut, innit?
Yeah.
Oh, I can tell. You're
I haven't got a nut allergy, man. So...
Yeah, you have an allergy?
I haven't got an allergy.
Okay.
So you got to enjoy.
Yeah, she loves these nuts.
Okay, so F1! F1, one of the biggest films of the year, biggest budget of the year, if not one of the...
Is it?
It's like a £300 million film.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And you can kind of see why.
Yeah.
You can kind of see why. It was a film I was highly anticipating. You guys, how did you feel prior to the film coming out in terms of, were you looking forward to it? Were you not? Bissola, I'll start with you and I know your reasoning, so I'm just going to let you take the floor.
No. It's not even on a horny tip yet. Obviously, like, the obvious things. I find Damson Idris Madden Hampson, like, obvious things.
He is.
But I really do like his choice of project, bar that one movie he did with Captain America. I think he's... What's the movie with Anthony Mackie on...
Oh, Netflix. The one on Netflix where the sci-fi army thing.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called.
Okay,
but
that one.
Kids are sorting that out. But I just can't remember. I remember not enjoying it when it came out.
Mm.
Yeah.
Outside the Wire.
That's the one.
Yeah, I really didn't enjoy that movie.
I didn't mind that film.
Nah, but I think for the most part, he chooses really good projects.
Yeah.
I adored him in Farman. You guys know how I feel about Farman.
Yeah.
Farman's one of my favourite movies. He doesn't say much. That's why I realised that he's such a good actor, because I think he was so cold in Farman. And like Snowfall.
He's very expressive in it.
Yeah, Snowfall and then Swarm. Like everything he's chosen along the way have been really, really good. Even his guest appearances. So I was excited for F1. In particular, he's talking in a regular British accent. I was really excited to hear that.
Same.
Like, because we haven't heard him in that, for me anyway, besides Farman.
Also like, we actually haven't heard him
speak normally in ages. So that's what I was really, really excited for. The thing that sounds nuts, but that was holding me back from watching it, if anything, was Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt. But can I just say he had a generational performance.
Hey, but like, I just wasn't...
Look, save that.
He's just saying things.
Save your... dispute. Save your dispute.
Here's my thing. It's like, I'm not looking forward, because I don't care for Brad Pitt. Like, the last thing I watched Brad Pitt was...
Once Upon a Time?
No, it was Wolves.
With
George Clooney. That was mid.
And I couldn't get through it. I just didn't care for it.
Like, that was a film that they made as friends.
I was kind of like... Yeah, but even that, like, I don't care the premise of it. I didn't enjoy it. That's what I'm trying to say. So, yeah, I was looking forward to it for Damson. And also, I remember I had this conversation when we talked about this earlier, that I didn't care... for the film, because I was like, it's going to be too much F1, and I don't watch F1. And then now I've watched it, I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to watch F1.
Yeah, I'm
a huge F1 fan.
It was
like,
a great advert.
No, fantastic. Apparently it's not that much like F1, but I don't trust F1 watchers, because Lewis Hamilton is a producer in it, and I feel like he would know.
I think we'll get to that point of conversation, so I hear you. I think one thing I will say with what you said about Damson is, and we spoke about it, it's cool to see a young British actor on a big scale, on a big blockbuster, because we haven't seen him do that yet. We've seen him do Snowfall, we've seen him do other things, but this is a completely different realm.
Own it as well.
And it requires a different kind of skill set, because you have to really be able to own the screen and be part of the screen. And I think what we'll talk about later, I think he kind of grew into that. So, yeah, it was cool.
Also, shout out to Samson Kale, man. Yeah. Honestly, I didn't even know he was in the film.
Cash Man.
And when he walked out, and I was like, oh, what is it? So, like, yeah, that was...
He's doing big things. He was in House of the Dragon last year as well.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I think he's been in something else I've seen him in.
He's in an animated series as well.
He was also in Eddie Murphy's Haunted House as well.
Okay, cool.
He's killing it, bro.
No, it's really cool. It's really cool to see people that, you know, you either grew up around, or you might be in the vicinity of doing good things.
So awesome.
Manny? Yes, sir. I'm interested in your thoughts, because I wouldn't put this down as like a typical Manny film per se. I know you're open to different types of films. I wouldn't have it as like your criteria or your go-to. How were you feeling prior to?
I'm looking forward to watching them. I wasn't like super excited.
Yeah, for sure.
More so excited for Damson in Dress, because obviously UK actor, I really think he's a really good performer. One of our best male actors around that age group anyways. So I'm excited to see him lead or co-lead such a huge film. And that's it really. Like beyond that, it wasn't really like, I didn't really care.
Yeah.
Beyond that, if I'm being completely
right. Fair enough.
You watch F1?
No. One of my friends is trying to force me to get into it. We actually had a deal. She kept up her end of the bargain and I didn't on my part. And I actually do need to watch at least one F1 game.
Okay. Cool. The film is directed by Joseph Kosinski. The film's directed by Joseph Kosinski, who worked on Top Gun Maverick. And if you've seen Top Gun Maverick, you can see the sort of transition of the work that he did there to this film, I think, because from a sonic and visual perspective, this film is incredible, and we'll get into that. It follows Sonny Hayes, played by Brad Pitt, who was a young, exciting sort of F1 driver. He got into an accident during his sort of promising days of his career, and he quits. And then 30 years later, he meets up with Ruben Cervantes, played by the man, Javier Bardem, who I thought was great.
Oh,
in the
he
film,
was so good, man.
Persuades him to return to F1. For me personally, the storyline itself throughout the film wasn't like mind-boggling. It wasn't like that interesting to me per se, but the character interactions and how immersive this film was what really did it for me. What did you guys enjoy about F1? We'll start with you, Hus, because you didn't come, so you can tell us how your experience was from your perspective.
I said yesterday, I'm so glad that I didn't go to the screening.
Why?
I feel like when I went yesterday, it reminded me of what a cinema experience what it was. It's the beforehand, you get your snacks, you laugh by it, the trailers, okay, go in there, if you're sitting down. I had really nice seats as well, okay. I just fight for them, you know what I'm saying? I pre-booked them. And then, like, you know, if we get to watch it, and I almost, the person that I was with, like, we were, like, super in it together. Do you get me? And then, like, afterwards, us guys, we talk about it. Like, the whole 3-4 hours were just really, really nice. But, like, the film topped it off for me. Like, I went into the film kind of like Manny. It was like, I want to see it, but I had no expectation. You know what I mean? All right. But I'm gonna say this. I know it's gonna be clipped. Don't give a fuck. Okay. I think it's my favorite film of the year.
Man said, I know it's gonna be clips. Like, he's not gonna ask for it to be clipped.
Don't give a fuck. No, I'm not. Yeah.
It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
I think it's my
favorite. And I already can see it. This is gonna be the first part of the clip, and it's gonna fade into the transition. Yeah. Then we're gonna talk about the film, and then he's gonna say it again. I've already pictured it.
Yo, the person that I was with, I said, it's my favorite film of the year ever. She went, chill. Sinners is still here. I said, yo, I think it's my favorite film of the year. Okay? I was standing on business, man.
Is that clacking to you? That I'm standing on business?
There's two things that I look at with films, okay? As us guys being, like, collective film bros, okay? Like, it's the storylines, the plot lines, okay? The way that it's directed, the visuals, blah, blah, blah. Everything that we kind of look for. Then there's just the feeling. There's just a feeling of just, like, how did the film make you feel? And that is it. Right, and F1 wasn't about the storyline. It was just having me feel, you know. I don't know if the petrol from the cars was going into my nose or something, okay. But brother, let me tell you now, yeah, I cried twice.
What point?
I cried twice.
Wait, why?
Wait, let me land. Okay, I cried twice.
Okay, proudly, but I'm asking you.
Okay,
what were the moments you're crying?
Don't worry. I tried to hold my tears back, yeah, because I was like, I'm a fucking man, yeah, fuck this shit, yeah. I tried to hold my tears back, yeah, and then on my mother's life, something happened, and all I felt was...
Was it when the car exploded?
And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't even mean to cry, and I was crying. Can we deep that? I didn't mean to cry, and I was crying.
That's piss aura.
Twice.
That's aura. That's
bro,
the aura.
Bro, it's aura, my brother. Okay? Twice. Well, hey,
by the way, he was aura farming heavy in that film.
Bro,
he was
aura farming. But he's
lit. I actually don't think he was.
Oh my God. Twice.
what I would say is my experience was, like, throughout the film, I was kind of like... Don't know if you saw me, but I was proper, like, lean forward.
Yeah, bro.
You're engaged.
I was really on the, like, I was on the edge. I felt like I was constantly like... Like, you're waiting for something bad to happen, then it happens, then you're like, something bad's gonna happen again. We don't want it to, but it's like the battle of it's inevitable, but it's also like, please don't.
Yeah.
Like, please don't. So when his car, like, toppled over that time and it's silent, also the sound in that film disgusted me. We spoke about this earlier. It was actually, like, it was disgustingly good. When it went silent, when the car was flipping, everyone was like, I think all gasped, and then one guy in the back was like, no!
From a technical perspective, and I think this is where the film really excels for me anyway, sound design was incredible.
So good.
The score from Hans Zimmer when it comes in was really, really good.
Yeah.
They had a really good soundtrack for the movie, which didn't have all the same sort of sounds. There's different sort of sounds across the...
Yeah, the soundtrack itself, though, the actual album, when it came out, yeah, I was like, oh my goodness, this is nonsense. Did you guys see that, the track list?
Yeah.
Roddy Rich, Doja Cat, Tate McRae. Tate McRae was my final straw, because I was like, we're just doing a whole bunch of nothing now. Like, this is just... No. It's like everyone that can sell. And I was like, this is nonsense. There's no cohesion here whatsoever. Listen to the whole album, I was like, oh, this is going to be the greatest movie ever.
Yeah.
It's going to be so good.
It really works for the movie. I think visually, the way they were able to capture sort of different camera angles and different perspectives of the races, of the crowds, of the racing team, the guys behind the scenes who are working in the team as well.
I felt like I was part of the team.
And I felt like I was part of the race at times as well. And I think the overall experience from a visual and sonic perspective was probably the best of the year from my perspective.
Camera angle in the race where it started raining, right? And like what I loved about that race was Sonny was ahead of the pack. He was third, right? And then he's obviously telling what was Damson's character called?
Joshua.
Yes.
JP.
Yeah. he was same JP, yeah. Yo, follow my track, yeah. And then I was like, oh my God, he's saying it because he's making it dry so that he can go right behind him, right? Mm-hmm. Number one, that's fucking cold. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, like, and then they switched the camera angle, yeah, to his actual view, not like the car's view, but his actual view. And it was the split between the two holes that you can see from, and just the water hitting. I was like, that's so fucking sick.
Yeah,
generally felt I was in like a simulator. Do you know what I mean? And then I felt like I was saying to fucking to JP, brother, stay behind me, bro. Do you know what I mean? Like I was locked into
it. Yeah,
so real. Locked in. And like I was like grabbing my leg and grabbing chairs and everything, bro. Oh, man.
One of my favourite shots was the ones from Straight On when it kept covering it because they were like, it was literally on the steering wheel.
Oh, yeah.
They kept covering like the, because it just made me so anxious because you're that close to me, but it's like, do not hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Please don't hurt yourself. Like, my heart is racing.
Every corner,
innit? Like, every corner, I'm like, every and they're turning mad harsh. I'm like, please, like, no, that, slow down, slow down. Sorry, Formula One, 70 laps. When did that start?
Yeah, it's been a thing forever.
I beg, I would have, honestly, I thought it was one
lap. That's why they lose so much weight. During the races.
Also, I was like to them, I'm thinking, guys, just drive faster. I thought it was one lap. I was like, just go faster.
Also,
70 laps.
Also,
drive faster.
I don't know if this is the thing, okay, but I do think that I enjoyed it more because I'm not an F1 watcher. I'm an F1 enthusiast, right? So I've watched Drive Survive, obviously. Okay, so I know the politics.
So you watch F1.
This guy's such a loser. Oh my God.
What? It's 7 seasons, but 7 seasons, by the way.
I'm asking, so you watch F1 like TV shows and films, but you don't watch F1?
No, wait.
You're saying the right thing, Manny.
Because of Drive to Survive, okay, I've watched, like, what's it, F1 seasons with Jace, Charles, okay, blah, 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 okay? And we like, keep in touch, okay? So, like, but I haven't for the past season and a half. But I stopped watching the season that Lewis got done. It was like 2 years ago.
That hurt me.
Yeah, that season. I watched the whole season.
Number
okay?
eight.
But listen, because of a Netflix show, I knew the politics and how the teams get picked and how everything fucking feels and goes on. So watching that season, I was more emotionally involved because I knew how he got there. Right? So now
I didn't know they had teams, you know.
Yeah.
That was even new to me.
But see, that's my point. Now that I'm thinking,
so when they were like, oh, to join the team, I was like, oh my gosh, they're gonna kick Joshua out.
Okay.
So I thought it was one person per team, innit?
Because
Lewis Hamilton is the face of every brand he goes for. I didn't know there's more of them. If I was the other people on his team, I'd be pissed off.
Yo, so
tell him to get good.
So
you know what? Facts.
So if we check this here, like a couple years ago, okay, Jace.
He's busy. Can you actually focus on what you're saying?
Cool.
Locked in.
A couple of years ago, okay, there was two races for Mercedes. It was Lewis and Nico Rosberg, yeah? And the problem is, they're both wavy drivers. You're supposed to have, like, a number one driver and a two driver that's either super young or kind of, like, old. Just like, ass, right? And But fucking Nico had won, like, two Grand Prix, so he was locked in already. So he came into this team... almost being like, well, I'm going to pip feed Lewis to this thing, innit? All right? It got to the end of the season, and Mercedes have the number one and two spot. Like, as in Lewis and thingy, Nico. And it got to the point where, like, in the last, like, couple of races, they're telling Nico, move out the way. Let Lewis pass so you can win the championship.
Which is kind of what you see in...
Which is what you see, right? Joshua Pierce and Nico's like, nah. I mean, he's like, brother, move out the fucking way. And you could hear Lewis on the fucking radio screaming. He's like, what the fuck's he doing? Do you get me? It's a mad thing, yeah? And then obviously he eventually moves, yeah, safe. Boom. They fucking celebrate. Boom. They go into the back room, yeah? The number two hat is on the fucking table. Nico is sat in the corner. Lewis picks up the two hat and dashes at him. And we dashes it back at him. There's a whole thing, bro. That's got 100 million views.
This is yours. You know when you say, I love the tea.
Yeah. Yo.
No, I'm invested. That's how I'm listening. I haven't said a single thing.
Yo, watch Drive to Survive, yeah? It's a reality show. It's not F1. Okay, it is a reality show. Okay?
You should start with that.
That is peak. Bro, listen, okay, listen. Season 7 starts with one of the biggest owners. Sorry, biggest principals. I think it's Ferrari, okay, or...
Principals?
Team managers, basically. Principal team managers.
Yeah, okay. He was sending nudes to an employee of him.
Oh, that's Red Bull.
Yeah, Vrabel. Yeah.
That was Jerry Halliwell's man.
Employee.
Oh, my God.
Right? Evan, check this. For two episodes, it's just following him, going from interview to interview, trying to be like, it's not true, da-da-da. Evan, not only that, okay, is that once the interview's done, they're still following him. Netflix are just following him. So you can see his live reaction to be like, fucking hell, this is a lot.
What's on Netflix?
Yeah,
you downloaded it for my journey home.
So look, I make that long ass point, okay, just to be like, because of all that, yeah, watching this made it so much more immersive for me. I'm so glad that I got to see like a fictional story and somebody kind of like create something that everybody can enjoy. But I enjoyed it more because I was
an enthusiast.
Yeah.
By the way, that's Jerry Halliwell's geezer. So that's the context and tea. I think.
Sorry, I'm so sorry, guys. What season you say it was?
Seven or six. Yeah.
I think one of the reasons why this felt like so immersive and like real is well, from what we know now, they shot this during like a lot of the real life F1 races during short breaks.
Sick, man.
So like, I think from Abu Dhabi to Silverstone, Mexico City, there was a few others as well that I've missed out. They shot them during the breaks and they had like short windows to shoot these races in.
Yeah, man.
Impressively, Damson Idris and Brad Pitt both drove the cars themselves. Yeah. Sony and Mercedes teamed up to create cameras that would one fit into the car without adding extra weight. And then I think Apple also created a camera that would work as like a broadcast, because you know when you're watching the F1,
yeah,
the broadcast, mm-hmm, that you can't use those cameras in the film. So Apple created Apple used their camera facilities to use their camera instead. So like the amount of work and effort and time that's gone into making this film to make it as realistic as possible was great for me. I think where people had issues with it not being real F1 is more some of the conveniences of the stories, but that's just cinema. It's not me making an excuse, but it's the reason. It's like, this is storytelling, and it's like, you kind of have to add a bit of drama, you have to add a bit of suspense to it, and I think that's the way they decided to do it was. And I get where F1 fans are coming from, though, because, you know, they want to see something realistic to them, when really, this is about making F1 palatable to the masses, to everybody.
They've got me.
It works for you. Yeah, it got you locked in.
They got me so, I walked out. What's the first thing I said to you? What season do I start of F1? where do I join?
So the thing with the Apple side, with the iPhone, was to create high-quality points of view footage from inside the Formula One cars. So that's how they use the iPhone cameras.
But you see the scene that where it's towards the end, where like Sonny and Effie saying to them, they're both not sacrificing. Like one of them has to sacrifice, so Lewis can defend.
Yeah.
Right? And then obviously Sonny then goes ahead and does that. This film wasn't apparently like emotional, but I think because of the adrenaline of it, okay, like that for me was such an emotional scene. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Evan, I was like, how can this make me feel like this? It made no sense to me. There was a scene with, which didn't mean anything fucking much. It was like the race before the Monza race. And, it was when he was getting all the fucking the red flags and stuff, right? Mm. And then Sonny is trying to do the same thing to Max Verstappen, who's obviously a fucking legend, right? But he can't do it to him. And I love that, because he says, okay, nah, he's too good.
Yeah.
Okay, do you know what I mean? Okay, and that's real. Like,
Max is cold.
Max is cold.
Is that?
How many real drivers?
All of them.
All of them are real. All of them are real. Did you see?
Because I knew Lewis. I don't know anyone else's name.
All of them are.
As in,
you see, they had every team.
Like,
oh
yeah. So you see every time he like stared down a driver or spotted him. Well, those are real drivers. Like Marcus Alonso. I was like, oh my god. Like, they're saying no words. But
because I was on Reddit heavy after, yeah. But I thought people were capping. But they were like, people were saying that it was real drivers. But I was like, only Lewis I know.
No, it was real drivers. They added Apex GP as like an extra team. It's meant to be 10 and they added 11.
Do you know what I found really funny? So obviously the movie took like 2 years to make, and apparently the first part of it was them trying to get clearance for all that product placement.
Red Bull had a lot of issues. Of
course, because the thing is, your team can't lose. You can't be like on TV known as your team that's lost.
And Red Bull didn't want to be seen, because their reputation in real life F1 is to be the antagonist, or like the dark team, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want that to be represented in the film, because the makers of F1 worked with Mercedes to make the story. So they were like, well, how are we going to be depicted in this movie? So that's some of the politics that went into the film.
Yeah, wow. It was a lot. But you know, I realised that how heavy the product placement was immediately, because the opening shot was an AirPod Max. couldn't stop laughing because I was like, oh, I know what this is going to be. And it was just like, it was littered.
They must have got gifted loads of shit. Oh.
Yeah, like, it was littered.
Give me some AirPods, man.
But even like Tommy Hilfiger, everything in there, I was just like, this is like, Dempsey's character, Joshua Pierce, was only wearing Tommy Hilfiger, even down to his trainers. And they very rarely put like trainer shots in there because your trainers are never really like confirming stuff. All the politics behind the movie, I understand why it took 2 years to make, because half of it wasn't even filming. It was just trying to get clearance of
things. But it does represent F1 well, though, because F1 needs so much money to actually happen, because obviously the oil costs so much, okay, the cars cost so much. The drivers have 15 things on them, sort of a car sometimes, do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Okay, like, it is a lot. I think the average price of like each car is like 80 to like 200 mil. You know what I mean?
How much do F1 makers make? Driver, sorry, make.
Lewis is on a 200 mil contract.
No, but he's different though. He's like, what's a rookie? What's a Joshua Pierce making?
What is a Lando Norris making? No, he's a rookie, but he's also cold.
Verstappen and Hamilton are like.
Yeah, they're.
Yeah, Hamilton, I'm never going to get him. I need someone like a rookie. What's someone that's coming up in the ranks making?
Oh, she's trying to scout.
I'm trying to figure out what, like.
Where you can start from.
You need to sow your wag seeds everywhere. You can't just start at football. You've got to.
Here we go.
Say base salary is 20 million annually.
God damn it!
Orlando.
But Deepak.
Who? Though. What's his name, sorry?
Lando Norris.
Oh,
what does he look like? Can you spin the camera? That's for him, please.
He's actually Chuck's boy in the back. Like, he does like fucking.
I'm good, thank you.
Content and stuff.
Okay.
That's that.
Manny.
Yes, bro.
One of the themes of the film for me, which was used through, I think it's used through Kate. It's used through Dodge. Dodge is the black guy.
Mm-hmm.
It was used through Jodie, who was the young girl. It was teamwork and the importance of, like, even if this is an individual sport, how important team is. Was that a message that came across, like, to you as well throughout the film? And in which moments did you see that, if so?
Yeah, definitely. I think the scene that probably showcased that the most was when Sonny was talking to Kate in the pub.
Oh, yeah. Good scene, that.
Eventually, says something along the lines like, "I'll listen to you when you win a race." And then obviously,
no, when you
finish, when you finish, finish when you finish race. Yeah. Sorry, when you finish a race. And then obviously, he was trying to tell her, like, "Oh, this is how the car should be should be done, so we can improve." And also, there's a scene where JP fucks up because he was a bit insecure. I know he didn't state it, but he was being a bit insecure in terms of after coming back from his injury.
Oh yeah, he was a sport brat.
And then I think he messes up one race, and then Sonny just flips out on him. He's like,
yeah,
if you want to mess me, that's fine, but you can't, like, everyone else is putting a lot of hard work into this, you can't be fucking them over as well. Like, that's way too selfish. So I think that sense of, like, a community, or that sense of this is actually a group effort rather than individuals winning the race, I think that was, like, sown throughout the film, is that you can't just win it by just driving.
No matter how talented you are,
there's so many other components and so many other things that people need to do. Even like when you stop at the pit and people have to, like, sort out your car.
If they're not locked in, like Jody wasn't.
They're not locked in, like it happened in the first race. JP's car drove over that piece of machinery and slowed it down a little bit. It's just a group effort, and did appreciate the fact that.
And it proves that the half second counts. Right,
that, and so every
single
second counts.
Yeah, every single improvement. Okay, they're fighting for around 1/10 of a second.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's so pivotal. But Sonny was like positive reinforcement. Okay, like, let them know. All right, cool. This is good, because they've probably been hearing it all season, because they've lost like 9 in a row. So they've probably been hearing shit all season. Right, so, and when, who's the owner again, sorry?
Ruben Cervantes, Javier Bardem's character.
Yes, so when he first hires, he says to him, like, straight up, like, I'm not hiring you to like, win. I'm saying,
I'm hiring you to get on the podium, basically.
But to build a team, because you can give them, like, a focus and a fucking goal and you know, and blah, 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 blah. And towards the end of that, okay, that's what he done. You know, like, it was like, we don't have to follow the fucking norm, because we've got a shit car, we've got, like, a shit position, blah, blah, blah. Let's switch it up. Do you know what I mean? And then there was a line that he said that, JP goes, all right, cool, we'll do plan A, blah, blah, blah. And then after that, just hope for the best. And then he goes, hope is not strategy. You know, and then I was like, Don't cry, man. That was pretty cool.
I think
aura was making me cry, man.
I think there were two other scenes that, like, lean into the teamwork, though. It was one where, one character in Kate, who, without her, the car doesn't improve.
What accent did she have, by the way?
She's Irish.
Yeah.
I could tell.
Yeah, she's Irish. Through her character, you get to see the importance of the collective. And then there was the other scene. There was two scenes. It was when Brad Pitt starts jogging, and the rest of them start joining him slowly.
Oh, so sick!
And then by the end of the film,
yes, yeah, when his character, when JP comes back, and he makes them all go on a run.
Mad emotional.
I was.
And I think it was like he's learnt from someone that's older than him and wiser than him.
Yeah.
But he's also decided to make that step himself. And I think that was a profound moment.
I think he first starts that with the tennis balls.
Yeah, when he picks it up. Yeah.
When that's when I was like, he's learning.
Because he was trying to do the little reaction thing that he just wasn't working. Yeah. One thing that did bother me, though, he didn't have any burn marks on his hand at the end of the movie. And it really just grinded my gears because I feel like he should have had some.
Okay. Okay, gears, get it?
Oh, gears.
Yeah, I really want him to have burn marks. Because like, if you were in,
because he would have made it secure for you.
Huh?
Would have been so she wanted to commit to the role. That's
just,
what it is.
Like
commit.
Yeah. How is he getting? Because he was in a fire. He was actually in a fiery car. When he's in the hospital, they're wrapping his hand. I'm like, so he's got burn marks. He should have some burn marks. No, just like a minor thing. It's nothing crazy.
Mm.
I was like, he got better way too soon. All that stuff is normal. It's a movie.
What's the guy saying? Yeah, his mum was on crutch, you know.
So I wasn't on my point. So you should have just had burn marks by the end of it.
You said your point then.
Bits, I've got another alley for you though. From my perspective, I didn't feel as though Brad or Damson, more so Brad initially, were the standout performers in the film. But I do think Damson grew into it. How did you experience this film in terms of those two sort of co-leads? And like, I was really impressed. The further the film went on, it felt like Damson like felt accustomed and comfortable in like a big blockbuster. But how did you?
I feel like he was in it from the jump. I think JP as a character wasn't meant to be in it. Do you know what I mean? I feel like he's meant to be. He's a rookie. He's a bit standoffish. He thinks he knows better than everyone. Like I feel like he was just like, do you know I'll go to work on a Monday. Like they ask you what you did on the weekend. Oh, nothing. Mind you, you were at DLT Malta. Like you were out of the whole country. Do you know what I mean? You just don't say what you've been up to. I feel like JP was given that. I think by the end of it, he's ready to be part of the team.
So I agree with you there, and I don't disagree. I just don't. I personally feel like he like grew into the film, both Damson's performance as well as JP's character.
I think it's just JP's character. I feel like Damson's performance meant that JP's character was getting into it. But like he was given what he was meant to give. For me anyway.
Yeah, cool.
And I think I wasn't sold on their chemistry at first, him and Brad Pitt, but then it got better.
It grew.
It actually, they got along, or they started to get along, or they started to understand each other a bit more.
Yeah.
So I think they were both given what they were meant to give for that moment in time. We were meant to be a bit unsure.
But even in the moments where they were like going back and forth and being a bit sharp and diggish with each other, that was fun. So like,
it was.
Yeah. Like when Damson was mocking him for being an older man, blah, blah, blah. That stuff
when
was
he was
funny.
Like, you're like a swan, yeah? It just felt so improvised, yeah? Because it looked like it caught him off guard. It's like, you're just such a swan. He's like, what's a swan? He's like, I can imagine being like, shut the fuck up, that's not the line. Like, that's what he gave. And I was like, this was perfect. Like, this was a level of comedy that was necessary for this really intense moment.
Yeah.
And I was like, stuff like that made me just believe in Damson's character.
Right.
In Damson as a whole. But I could be, because I was so excited for this movie, I could see that as well.
Different perspective, man. It's cool.
But Brad was also very.
All right, you do your thing because I don't think I thought he was okay.
Brad did enough. I think he did enough for me.
Brad gave a Will Smith King Richard performance.
No, we're saying things that nobody said before.
I thought I agree with you. I think he was good, like base level, good performance.
I think he's a good actor, and do you know, it didn't make me walk away and be like Brad Pitt fell off. But I would say this year, I didn't find him handsome before, and I found out he's aged the other day.
He's Langworth.
Oh no,
he's like top three.
He's good looking.
No, I didn't think he was. He didn't really move me before. Yeah, then I found out he was 61. I am so extremely moved.
He's a good
looking. Because I thought he was just like, oh,
he's beautiful.
40s, it would do the job. Like we keep like uplifting white men that are just mediocre. Yeah, I was like, oh my goodness, he's actually really handsome. But yeah, Damson is still. Is Damson Lewis Hamilton? I told you that one scene. I slapped Manny's leg. I said, Manny, pause it. Pause
it. See when they were looking at each other.
No, we're going face card. He's dumb. I sat up. I said,
I know exactly what's
going on. Bring him back.
What I think the film did well, and I know there would have been restrictions to doing this because they have to put F1 in the most positive light possible, is the way they used, I think the guy, character's name is Peter, but it was played by Tobias Menzies, who was like one of the owners of the Apex GP.
Mm-hmm.
And like the way the film dived into like corruption, but did it in a way which was like funny, whilst not being too obvious on the nose, because they have to make this look as presentable and palatable to like the masses as possible, right? But they still did it in like a humorous way. So his character was quite dark. What he did was nasty.
But it didn't feel like a Formula One problem. It felt like a sport problem.
Yeah, but once you watch Just Survive, you realize that it's a full on issue.
Okay,
do you know why? Because each team is potentially worth like billions, mm-hmm. right? So the problem is if you're just losing money, right, when 80% of teams are making money, okay, is that like you can be sold for around half the price, but then those people can come in, change three things, just like a driver, team principal, and car, and then be fourth. Do you know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. they know that it's like a worthwhile investment. So it was a very real problem that they did actually bring up. You know, it's just that there's not a lot of sales that go on in F1 because everyone wants to stay in F1, you know. Okay. And the reason why it's such highly paid is because there's not 5,000 athletes, there's 20 drivers. You know, so yeah, so there's 20 drivers, but then obviously, you see, Katie, those simulators and the science, whatever, those are like 10 mil. Like
the machinery, everything looks expensive,
it's ridiculous. Like, it's ridiculous. So, like, yeah,
it's for me, because obviously, I haven't got the context of F1, so that's why I felt it felt more like a sport problem, full stop.
He did
feel like a dark character, but it just didn't feel. It felt quite light-hearted.
Yeah, for sure.
And
it was comedic. It was done in good taste within the context of how they want to present F1. Mm-hmm. And he's a good actor. Like, I've seen him in Thrones, seen him in The Crown. Go on, man.
Yeah, my favorite acting scene.
Oh, go on.
Was him and Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt was about to get, well, Sonny was about to get into the car to drive off because he had his accident. And then Sonny just essentially exposed, oh, it was you that gave away the
documents.
Forged documents.
Yeah, the facial expression, I thought was the best bit of acting throughout the whole film.
And I think this is what I mentioned to you two. I thought Javier Bardem, Kerry Condon and Tobias Menzies were the best performers, for me personally. I thought Bardem was brilliant. Like, he was my favourite actor.
I was going to say, okay, I think that Bardem was the closest person to the audience. Like, if we were to match how we felt throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
He was the closest person that we felt like. We felt like we were just with him, like, oh fuck.
He never lets me down whenever he's on screen.
He was really, really good. And he was like dramatic at the right times. He was stoic at these certain times. Okay. And his
why are you laughing?
Oh, there's a scene that pops into my head.
Okay. Oh, we would
it was when them two had sex,
Oh yeah.
Let
Gas say this.
It's when like he comes to the door and then he's like, oh, he's there, isn't it? And she's like, no, he's talking about him. And she was like, he's there, isn't it?
And she's like, he's on the back.
Yeah, it was fucking funny.
So Manny was like, that's how I'm gonna be when I catch you and Gas.
Okay. Oh, I caught that.
That's good TV.
I caught. That's funny.
Oh, that's good TV. Good.
That was good. How can you waste clips like that? We're meant to inform people about the film.
That was jokes.
Favorite races. What are your favorite races, Biss? Or favorite race?
You know what? Okay, my issue with the final race is I didn't want Sonny Hayes to win.
I thought the final.
I get it.
This is how I knew I was a hater.
It didn't make sense for.
Facts, but it's not real.
No,
it's not real. Like, exactly. The way it ended, I'm happy the way it ended.
Like, I'm not angry at all, but I want
if you win.
At the time, I did, but when Sonny ended, like, okay,
I don't want a second film. I don't really want a second one, but a second one.
Who's doing a second one?
If it does really well,
they'll do a second one.
Why?
If it does really
why?
Are you serious?
Have you lived on the rock the last 30 years, bro?
No. I don't want a second one. Please don't make a second one. It was so good.
My point is,
I can't lie. Give me a Damson second. What?
This is my point. Like,
with who?
Can you let me finish a fucking point? Okay.
They're talking as well.
No, it's you. So. The reason I didn't want him to win is because it opens the door to a second movie that I'm not completely like sold on.
Mm.
I don't care for this story that much. But here's my thing. I understand why he does. But JP should have won. Sonny Hayes, like, it would have been great if he just assisted the win. Like, and even that's in that JP coming out of the car, like cheering him on. I'm thinking, it should be you, man. It shouldn't even be Sonny Hayes.
It's a team game. That's the whole point of the film. It's not a team game.
Clearly isn't.
How's not a team game?
Let me tell you why. Because Lewis Hamilton, I know him. You guys talking about some other guy. Who the hell is that? That's not a team game.
No.
That's not a team game. Who the hell is the other guy?
Nico,
I don't know him.
Nico won championships.
Who's Nico?
Nico's cold, I can't lie.
No, I'm not saying he's not cold. I'm saying who is that?
Yeah, but
that's because
Lewis is black and
he's, shut your mouth,
and he's handsome. It's black bias again. This podcast is just black bias and Bisola.
I can't name 10 players on the Lakers, but I can name LeBron.
No, I'm with Bisola with this.
You can't name Luka Doncic.
I can't name... I know because of the tea that happened last time, but I can know. I know
it wasn't even tea.
It was tea. That was big tea.
That was big tea.
I know because I was reading it. And I was thinking, this is what the guys are like. Going help like this. They're going crazy
for this.
That was big tea. Yeah, cool. I could name.
Clock it.
LeBron. I can't name 10 other players. You know what? I can name Lewis Hamilton. Who is Nico? Me and Nico in a room.
She's even saying
who he is.
I'm with Pesola because I don't care about F1 as well. I'm the exact same. But bar Lando and bar.
So we know
Lando
more
because it's on my TL.
You know George Russell.
No. Wallahi, I don't
who
know
the that. Hell is George Russell?
I know Michael Schumacher.
If you told me
Marcus Lonzo.
If you told me that name, I would have said he's a basketball player.
Marcus Lonzo? Word. Marcus Lonzo?
He doesn't know anyone. Leave him.
Max Verstappen?
But yeah.
Everyone knows Max.
No, but
everyone knows
Max. Who the hell is Max?
Oh, come on, now, bitch. You're boy, innit?
No, I'm actually not. Guys,
you see why? You see why? You let me land. You see why you should know Max? He's T.
Yeah.
He's just tea. He's a piece of shit.
As in, he walks around looking for shit to start.
He's a piece of shit. Yeah, he's the biggest piece of shit in F1.
He hasn't done it successfully because I would know if he has.
Trust me, the reason why Lewis didn't win that time is because of him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And
should level that, guys. Come on, like
partly.
As in, like, he was sacrificing himself. Okay, just see.
The reason why Lewis didn't win that time is because he got fucking robbed by the association.
That was one of the biggest hit jobs I've ever seen in sports in general.
Do you know what kills him about that? Because there's other drivers that keep saying, yeah, Lewis has eight championship.
Yep.
Because officially he has seven.
Yeah.
But because everyone knows he got robbed, the drivers are saying, no, he's got eight.
Oh, yeah.
Eight.
Because isn't there someone in a coma right now that doesn't want to...
Schumacher.
Oh, because they don't want him to outdo his...
So,
how many does Michael have?
Seven. They both have seven.
Do you think they'll ever give Lewis another one?
No, well, listen.
Lewis is done.
Lewis was about to win. And then got robbed, and then since then hasn't been close.
He's not playing. He's
still playing. He's not as good as him. What? And the team he's at Ferrari have fallen off.
The cars.
Yeah, I know he's.
Yeah, the team's fallen off.
It's unlikely they will get an eighth.
Wait, no.
But everyone keeps saying like that's not the first time I've had eight ever.
Thank you. The car will come back. And Ferrari are arguably the biggest.
But is he still on the podium? I feel like I still see
him. He's still racing, but he's not as good as he used to be.
He's still like first, third, fourth, sixth, eighth. Do you get me?
But if you're still first.
He's as good as he used to be.
No, but you have to win the whole series.
Being first once isn't going to win you the championship.
But how many do you win before? Because you're not going to win how many of them?
You're not going to win all races.
You're thinking of individual races, not individual races.
I see him win. That's my point.
Wait. So it's essentially, if you win a race, okay, you might get like 10 points, right? So at the end of the season, 25. Yeah, 25 points.
Okay. That's a big difference, by the way.
That's so funny.
No,
that was so funny.
I was trying to do it in a...
T did his thing.
On my mother's life, I was trying to...
Don't simplify for me. It's fucking numbers, bro. No, don't patronise me. If it's 25, it's 25.
All right, okay. Then
the number 25. Points,
okay. Then, okay,
you
so...
You use me as...
So...
Fuck.
Obviously, okay, from position 1 to fucking 10, okay, there's different points. If you're like dead bottom, it's 0 points, okay. So at the end of the season, whoever has the most points wins the whole championship, right? That's why each team has two drivers, because you can accumulate multiple points.
But who then gets to go? Who decides that who goes to go on?
The driver who specifically has won the most points. So that's why there's a 1 and 2, because if the 2 is good enough, they can stay close to you and then raise the point level up, right? But if the first one is like second, and then the second driver is like 18th, it's pretty ass.
Have they ever had someone that's been like number one and someone that's been like 20th?
Yes, all the time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That happens a lot.
Yeah, specifically with Red Bull. Red Bull always go, because Max Verstappen, you guys talked about him, he's probably the best driver
right now, yeah.
But his second driver is always ass. Their aim is always to get somebody who's within the top 10.
Top 10, yeah.
But they are so bad. So I think Mexican dude, Sergio Perez, I think he was like 18th or something like that.
Didn't he leave Red Bull?
He left now. But like, I'm talking about a lot.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Season before that. Where?
Because he wanted like a bigger role as well, right?
He wanted a bigger role because he had a pretty good season. But yeah, literally. So that, I think the last championship, Verstappen won, he was kind of like at the top, whereas like Sergio Perez was somewhere near the bottom, but they didn't win the team championship
because exactly
the second driver was just doing that.
So bad. Lewis was beefing Nico, correct me if I'm wrong here, they were going to win the whole championship like 4 races early, right? Or because the point level was so because Nico was a dope driver, so he was always there like second or like third. So then that's why they told him to like get out of the way, because either way, Lewis is going to win either this week or next week. But we can do it now if you just move it away and let it finish above you. You know what I mean? So it's all like small shit like that. But yeah, so
was Nico racing for Ferrari or Mercedes at the time?
He was
Mercedes.
Okay. Were there any issues with the film, guys, before we wrap up this part of the pod?
No. People keep complaining about how the long it was. Yeah.
Oh no, it's fine.
I didn't really mind the length.
I didn't feel it per se.
It didn't feel like it was 12:36.
One thing for me, okay, was that my favorite part about the film was it was meshed in with. So it was a lot of duo conversations. Like a lot of the dialogue here was it was Brad Pitt and the girl that effed Kate. Up. Okay.
No. Oh, the girl photo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jody.
Yeah. Him and Kate. Happy about them, and obviously for Brad Pitt, the team, for principal, and like it was all like just two people a lot of the time. Okay, I thought that was wavy, but what I didn't like, okay, was the placings. Sorry, I didn't like the relationship between Damson and his mum.
I loved it because it felt very realistic. Because I felt like she was, quote unquote, the replacement for Simone Ashley. I'm going to say something really controversial here, and I don't think I'd ever say this.
Run it.
Also, I'm saying something that I'm disgusted. I didn't think the movie needed Simone Ashley.
Damson
Idris did not need a love interest.
It didn't.
Because it would have fallen.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
I agree.
But I don't agree with men.
I'm glad that when I said I agree, though, she didn't say it. It's only when he said it. That was cool.
So I said, bro, she hates us, bro.
I'm not hiding that. What the fuck?
It's yellow card. That's what it is.
Yeah.
No, it's one of those that.
He said, yellow card. That's what he said, though. That's not me. That's what he did.
Crazy.
Wait. What?
Anyways.
Oh wait, he didn't.
Okay. Wait. What?
I thought he meant.
He was.
I thought you meant something else.
Anyways, that's what I was saying. Crazy, yeah. Back to what I was saying.
It was crazy.
It would have been the focus of the film would have been a love interest, and Damson trying to like juggle his work life, JP trying to be a good boyfriend but also be present but also be this, like too focused on relationships, whereas the one with, relationship he has with his mum is quite realistic, of like a mum that wants his son to succeed. Even when he baddies up Sunny Hayes, when she's like, yo, like why the hell did you tell him to do that?
Not held him accountable, mum.
Yeah, she's just like, you're not like, what the fuck, my son could have died basically. Yeah,
yeah, but she was like, yo, I'll put you in the bed next to him, and then he goes, sure.
Because Sonny is a piece of shit. He is. But I think, do you know what it is? Yeah, I think he actually understood what she felt in that moment.
Yeah, of course.
I think he actually was quite understanding, but also just a bit tapped. But I do love that Simone actually wasn't in it for that reason, because I might not have enjoyed the movie.
And she might not have had much depth. She would have just been a piece to his story rather than having her own story. And it would have been
like a vehicle to drive on like his ambition as opposed to her own character.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Whereas mum was allowed to be that because that's a parent.
My favourite scene with the mum was when she made him say sorry. That was fine.
She was quite a parent. Yeah.
And also when she was like,
yeah. The bad print moment, that was funny.
That was good. Let's do some ratings. Out of what? Do you guys like fives or tens?
I actually hate rating movies, you know.
Fair.
I don't.
Fives or tens?
Tens.
Tens.
We do it at the end of the year. So
okay. Manny, do you wanna go?
8.
Yeah. Would you? Horse.
9-1.
Be so long.
8.5.
I'm gonna go 8.5 as well.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Typical. I know. Yeah. I thought it was a great film. Really enjoyable. Really immersive. Good. It's like what I'd want from a summer blockbuster. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did its job.
Handsome.
And then some.
I'm so proud of them.
Aesthetically beautiful.
That's a sexy ass lineup.
There was a shot that I had that I really liked, is when they were, but also the color scheme was kind of brazy because they kept wearing black and white.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch it again, maybe try to understand why that was the reason. But there's a shot that they had with Kate in the middle, and they had Sonny and JP on the side when they're playing cards in it. But the reflections were also on the background, so it's like there's four of them and Kate in the middle. I thought that was such a great shot.
Oh, is that when she tricked them into coming into the meeting?
Do you know what, also one part of the thing I really liked here, it just felt really natural. I felt like a normal conversation I was like eardropping on, when JP's talking about how much he's a prick. But he's fast though. And I was like, That wasn't written. That felt like very improvised. And there's tons of moments like that that made the movie just more
Who was he talking to at that point? Was his mum?
Was that his mum or
Cashman?
Seb Zakaia's character.
Cashman?
That's his name, yeah. Cashman.
Cashman.
Well, we've got another task to do. Jason, are you ready to substitute yourself in? Shall I say?
The bear. You in episode 10?
Just join in.
You in episode 10?
Yeah.
Join in. Join in and watch. You can do both. Jump in. Yeah, yeah. Substitution. Bye, guys. Put Sam in for Jason. Well, I think we have on our hands here.
But I want you guys to go.
Potentially my favourite series of the year, or season of TV of the year.
Yeah.
And I don't.
Kind of crazy that you didn't say ever, but it's okay.
And I don't take this.
I knew you were going to do this.
But
you're not disgusted, by the way.
I'm fair. And I'm not saying that on the basis of, this is just me being, you know, a fan of the series. Mm. But season 4, more than all of them, made me like feel something for at particular moments of The Bear. I haven't made people know we're talking about season 4 of The Bear, which for me, I really love the series, but season 4 for me was like high quality television from like so many different metrics. You could pick out so many different reasons as to why it's so good. How are you guys feeling going? Jason, you might as well take the floor on this one because you ain't got long here.
Yeah, apparently.
How are you feeling going into season 4 off the back of season 3 and the way it wasn't necessarily as adored as the previous two? This one obviously would have then had a lot of pressure on it to be a success and to sort of bring the series back to form. How did you feel?
Okay, so on a more personal level, obviously I had no doubts that this was just going to carry like well, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I like go on about how the ending of season 3 is my favorite episode, and I was just like, okay, cool, so we're just gonna pick up where we leave off. For 4th season, do you know what, like I'm currently struggling because I still haven't finished the season yet. I've still got 10 minutes left of the last episode, which this last episode is fucking incredible.
Crazy TV. Yeah,
has probably my favorite line of the entire show. Nigga, who cares right now?
Told you.
Nigga, who cares right now? Like,
why am I hearing Ayo say the word nigga?
She said it before in that season 2.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, but it was like in the midst of an argument. Someone posted it on Twitter the other day.
Bro, she said it. Okay. I know you haven't seen episode.
I think it's the clarity that's got everyone.
But she doesn't say
they're all just shouting at each other. She's like, oh, fuck. It's like in passing.
Yeah. I know you haven't watched the episode, but when she's done it, On this episode, I was so spun.
I was shocked.
Nigga, who cares?
Like, I feel like that was the first conscious moment I ever heard that the word in the show.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. But
I was busting up. I can't lie to you.
This season is absolutely fucking incredible. Like, I think it is probably the best directed season out of all of them. The shots, the framing, especially for Scallops.
Yes.
Which scene are you talking about in particular? Because there's a scene that I remember I spoke to you guys about.
When Kami and thingy are...
Richie.
Yeah, Richie.
Kami sat down and then...
Blue.
Is that, yeah, it's just blue? That right there. Yeah.
That and then obviously the beginning of the episode as well with Ayo just making her scallops.
Yeah.
Is that the third episode?
I don't think it's that.
That's not the first episode when she's making
scallops. No, the third
episode. Third
episode.
Yeah,
third is scallops, right? Where
three scallops, four is warm.
And then, like, I think, like, that particular scene as well, it's just kind of like exemplified the show for me, where I was just like, oh man, like they really romanticized the idea of cooking, and I think that was like the perfect time. Like, you know, the purple lighting on Ayo, she looks beautiful in that scene.
Oh, is that the opening of season of the episode when she's in the purple?
Yeah,
everything we've seen before was blue, but it was like focused on her instead. Which
focused
was cool.
On her, and then the way she's just in her own world, and it felt like she was cooking in her head, but obviously she was kind of like cooking in real time, if that makes sense. But like, I genuinely like fell in love with that scene, and I was just like, wow, like this show can't go wrong. Episode 7 as well,
we'll get there. Let's start with Groundhogs. Episode 1,
yeah,
I was like, you made a point, a really good point, which we'll get into, but episode 1 for me was brilliant because we're in season 4 of this series, but we're still finding out things about the characters that we didn't know before.
Yeah,
Francine.
There's still layers.
Francine, oh my days.
Because I had to Google it. I was like, I haven't been locked in, clearly not. Because like, who the fuck is
she? She hadn't really been referenced before.
No. Then I realised I'm not the mad one.
Yeah, you're not.
But it was like,
I did the same thing, by the way.
There's this thing, yeah, with the bear, yeah. Sorry, I cut you off, yeah. But every season starts almost out of context, mm-hmm. yeah. Where you don't really know what's going on, but you know what's going on because you know the characters, but they're just saying things that have never been said. And you're like, when did I miss this?
Mm.
And it's like, oh, it's going to get revealed later. Just hold on. wait a second, then it gets revealed by next episode.
No, I thought, like, we learned in the first 10 minutes of the episode so much more about Kami and his inspirations as to why he started chefing in the first place. Whereas before, we would have had just a perspective of it's a release from Miss and Escape, etc. Or he's just doing it to appease his brother or to reach the heights that his brother, you know, he wants to please his brother, shall I say. But really and truly, we learned that his father loved this sort of Irish restaurant, and he saw that his father was happy in the restaurant. He saw how happy people are when they're in a restaurant. That's his inspiration. That's something we didn't know in season 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah.
We also got to learn about Mikey, who started what business did he do? Was it cars or something?
Cars, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like we just learned so much more in those first 10 minutes, just through pure, honest dialogue between Mikey and Kami. And John Burnfull, just one thing on John Burnfull. This guy doesn't even feel like he's acting when he's in these scenes, bro. Like, he feels like a real human being who's having a real conversation with somebody else. And it feels like, I felt evasive at times. I felt like, well, I'm not meant to be here in this conversation. But I love those two, Jeremy Allen White and John Burnfull, whenever they're on screen together. And it's only short moments we get.
Yeah.
Beautiful moments, man.
John Burnfull is one of those actors where you can bounce off really, really well. Because, like, and just to...
And he can become the lead, even though he's not... The lead, you know, by trade.
Not the lead per se, but like even The Walking Dead, Daredevil, like he's such a good actor to bounce off from. Like, it feels like some of the best moments from most actors, like, it come from his scenes. But and another subtle thing as well is like how talented Mikey himself as a cook was. You know, when like
too much garlic,
right? Mm-hmm. Didn't even check it, didn't even do nothing.
And Carmen's like, what?
And Carmen's like, and then tastes it, and he's like, too much garlic. And
it felt real.
Bro, felt real, but again, it's one of those things where it's just like to your point, you know, how cooking runs in the family and how...
Runs in the family, bro.
And then just... Oh, shit made me cry, man.
No, there was some... No, there was loads of moments in season 4. I cried a lot. Yeah, man, for real. Sure. I love the opening scene. Manny, how did you feel in transitioning into the scene where, you know, Kami's with Sydney?
Yeah.
And it feels tense, but it's purposefully tense because... Sydney like opens up and tells him about himself for the not for the first time per se, but it felt like a quite a pertinent moment for Kami to sort of make changes in his life.
Yeah.
How did you?
Before that, I think something that I mentioned before is that episode 1, season 3 opens up with everything being like very chaotic, and like nothing really making sense. And everything being about the restaurants itself rather than individual dialogue, so on and so forth, in comparison to the opener of this season, where it was a lot more calmer, slowed down, and a bit more focused, and a bit more directed with people in dialogue in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that was very intentional for how the season ends up being like, with season 3 being very chaotic for the most part, people being, I guess, fragmenting rather than being a whole in comparison to what happens in this season and to what we eventually get towards the end of episode 10. Back to your question in terms of how far between Kami and Sydney's conversation, I can barely remember it.
She was basically telling him about himself, and it felt real, it felt brutal, and I think it was something that Kami was open to hearing for the first time.
Yeah.
Whereas before, I think he would have been a bit more and a lot more defensive, and I would have been
this episode.
Episode 1, yeah, the first episode, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember, because I messaged guys about it.
Yeah. He kind of like comes in and he does the
story. That's
when she. I remember now.
And she even tells him, like, but she didn't just tell him off. She also told him, you're great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And someone else does it later on in the season, which was fucking such a sick scene. Tina. You know, she's like, you're the shit, baby.
You're the shit, baby.
And I think he'd already accepted, I think season 3, episode 10, he decided he was going to leave.
Yeah.
But these other moments are all key moments in towards what happens at the end in episode 10 of season 4. Ooh. I think he decided.
Ooh. I think he decided after talking to, I think it was the mum.
Really?
No, I think he did.
I feel like it was already mentioned before, right?
Because I can't remember which episode it was, but Sid had an email where it was an updated agreement.
Yeah.
And I think at that point he's already decided. No. And that was obviously before.
That was on episode 4, 3.
So I think
he knew ages ago, but how he felt.
Yeah. You know what the confirmation was? Was in Scallops when he talks to Tina and Tina's trying to get the pasta done under 3 minutes.
Oh,
yeah.
And he sees.
And says, I can't do it. But then he sees Sid doing it in 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
I think it was that moment.
By the way, as well.
I think that moment that
she did it with so much ease that she was like, it was easy for her. I think it's him realizing that like this is so stressful for him, and he goes to pop his nicotine gum again.
I didn't even notice Nikki didn't. Yeah,
he's been doing it throughout season.
No, as in this is like also this is a season that I really liked Kwame.
Well, yeah,
says a lot about me. Yeah.
No, it doesn't. I think you're right on.
Like character growth.
Seems like a better person.
Oh yeah, facts. Because he's trying. He's actually
genuinely trying.
But it's the gum. The gum is killing me. Because I feel like he wants to be an arsehole and he horse pops gum instead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh my goodness, this is still a drug.
What was the catalyst that made him change?
I think it's the back end of season three.
Yeah.
I think it's...
When he had a conversation with my guy in a restaurant.
What, Chef David?
Yeah.
I think part of that... I think it's just that whole situation of the bear getting a negative review, him losing Claire.
Yeah, him and then
all of, I think all of that compiles into one thing where he's like, okay.
And he was scared that he was becoming Chef David.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was, his fear of being that person.
Yeah. There were so many great moments in season four for me. Do you know what I loved? And I spoke to Manny about this, yeah. It was when they were saying, we can't spend any more money. Uncle Jimmy's like, we can't spend any more money. Even Computer's my guy, by the way. He's like, I can't spend any more. And Richie's like, well... And Jessica and Garrett walk in. Oh my God.
The non-negotiables. I stood up.
When Jessica and Garrett walked in, I was like, my guys, because they played such a key role in He Wears Suits.
Yeah.
They like facilitated and played a role in his transformation as a person and as a professional as well.
Yeah.
I loved seeing Jessica and Garrett. Highlights for you guys. What so that's you. I know you like.
We're doing highlights already.
Highlights, but it kind of worms its way into a general conversation as well.
That's wording right there.
Come on, man.
Wormed his way because episode four is one of my favorites. Worms. I really like when episode. They give us like episodes that can happen at any given moment in the season, which is solely focused on an individual or during the day, because I think it tells a lot more about the character, and that's what the show is mainly about.
We've had some really good ones as well. We've had Honeydew with Marcus in Copenhagen.
Yep.
We had Forks with Richie. We had Napkins. We had Ice Chips. I love Ice Chips.
I went to go watch it again the other day and I was like, wow,
I love Ice Chips.
I managed to give it a spin, but yeah. Worms are really and I really like because when I was watching a video of what's the name of the guy that plays Marcus?
Lionel Boyce.
But his thing is Elway, isn't it? Lionel was talking about how Ayo was messaging him about writing this episode, blah, 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 blah. And I already knew the episode was...
You could tell it was a black-written episode.
That's the most black episode throughout, yeah. And it was nice to see that side of Chicago as well, even with just, like, her cousin. Even the conversation they had in terms of, like, I got a Saturday in 3 weeks off, we can go out. It's just nice to see Sydney outside of
be a human being.
For sure, because it's one thing that's easy to forget because the show is so intense that even I know they're not real, even these characters,
they might as well be,
yeah, they have a life outside of the kitchen. So it's nice to have like a predominantly a conversation or an episode where it wasn't based about the kitchen or her work, even though she was going through the dilemma of whether to stay or whether to leave, and the whole conversation that she had with her little cousin
TJ,
and that line which is saying that I want to go to this house, that house, but in this house is that brother. And then the little girl's like, oh, you got a crush. It's like, nope, it's not. It's not that. See, you niggas trying to ship them. It's not happening.
Bro,
it's never happening. You see, I recorded it. I was so happy. It's like, it's never going to happen.
And she was also like, oh, the house has got a faint stink, but I kind of like the stink.
I think it was, what does the little girl say? It's like, you don't own the house. Or it's like, it's not your house.
Yeah.
You need a house to fix.
And I think it was, everything about that was just like, I'm glad that she had the conversation with a child.
Yeah.
I think it was like, that's what made the conversation really great. I'm glad she didn't have it with her actual cousin.
Daniel Deadwaller was brilliant, by the way.
I did have some qualms with
really?
Yeah, it's a small one. It's like a reminder one.
Go on.
It's just the way black women are written sometimes, yeah?
Okay.
It's like, it's because the talking out your neck thing.
Mm-hmm.
It can be quite jarring because it's not always the case.
Sure.
And I think Ayo's character as the rebuttal to that as a person or like, as a concept, It's like, Ayo's character is like this broke, free-spirited chef, and this is like a young mum who doesn't keep to time and does hair, and yeah, and I did it. I thought, oh.
But it was written by those two.
Yeah, but sometimes it's still quite
sure, but
a tiny bit.
But do you not think that was very realistic?
to a certain degree, but it's not always that realistic. I don't get my hair done by an African woman because I don't actually know. Fair. But I think sometimes it can be just a tiny bit. It's, like I said, it's a minor issue. In the grand scheme of everything, it's a huge minor.
Who brought this girl to this pod today, bro? Huh? I'm playing with you, my daughter. I'm playing with you. Playing with you. Yeah, no, episode 4 was really, really enjoyable. You know when, like, kids can make something so simple sometimes. Mm-hmm. They're just like, life is black. It's just this or this.
Yeah, sleepover or no sleepover.
Really, it's not, but sometimes it can be. And yeah. I think that's what was great about TJ's character. And they were able to relate, not similar issues, but there were similarities in their problems with friendship groups and so on and so forth. It was just really cool to see, like, a different side to Sydney's character that we hadn't necessarily seen before, man. Yeah.
I mean, quite funny as well, because, like, I feel like this season as well focused a lot on Sid as well. Like, she had a lot of screen time, mainly because, like, is she going to stay or is she going to leave as well?
But I do think they dragged it.
I think they dragged it a bit.
I'm not complaining. It's just like a little drag.
I don't think it was dragged to me, because I feel like it felt realistic, because I feel like this is actually
that reaction as well. What a fucking dick.
Oh, Adam Shapiro? I could tell he was a piece of shit from that episode.
From that episode when she kind of like, and he played.
He's DMX, played, yeah.
I was just,
and she changed it to Beethoven. I was like, yeah, you're a G.
And then I was just thinking, oh, he's just one of those white guys who like these performative, like.
Yeah. Oh, he's super performative.
It was the hair appointment one that annoyed the hell out of me.
Yeah,
come up to the hair appointment and like, being like, it's fine. Just move the hair appointment. I was thinking, shut up.
And then she goes, like, oh, it's not going to be like an hour or two. And he goes, what? Like an all day thing? Fuck off, man.
I think
he ain't been hanging around niggas for real.
I think more so the word is performative, though.
Yeah.
Like a lot of his actions to try and get Sid to join him at his new restaurant was all performative.
Even the kitchen layout.
He may have given her license to do X, Y, and Z, but I think all of his positiveness and niceness was performative, because we saw, once he decided not to join him, we saw his true reactions and how he truly feels in his whole day. You're messing up. This is going to be the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
But sometimes the grass isn't always greener. Yeah. Sometimes it's just not. And I think, I don't want to jump because there's so much to talk about, but episode 7 was like, I think that was a big catalyst for Sydney staying.
Same.
Because I think that episode and that wedding made her feel like a bear.
Yeah.
I feel like a Bezzato.
Underneath.
Do your thing, man.
Underneath.
Alright, it's been beautiful.
25 more. Let's talk about this episode.
Okay, this episode.
Speak freely, my king.
You know, one guess is on, you go off.
No, it just, there were so many beautiful moments in the episode. This episode felt like the antithesis of Fishes. It felt like this was, it was built up to be the chaotic, manic thing. And it wasn't that per se, but we still got glimpses of it through Francie and Natalie, which was great because we don't see that from Natalie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Natalie being the catalyst for that was great because it's not you. This isn't normally you.
Yeah.
I learned something about you. You like Francie. Oh, Pete learned as well. We all learned at the same time. But the episode was actually quite calm and sweet and loving and joyful.
Yeah.
And there were just so many great, like, one-to-one interactions. What was your favourite?
Richie and Sid outside, the cigarette. And she's just like, no. I say no to Richie that moment. But also, one of my favourite moments is underneath the table when Kami's kind of like, he doesn't want to come underneath. And they're all like, sit fucking ass. It's the passive-aggressive swearing at each other. Yeah. Or also, what fax is it? Which one is it? Is it Neil?
Ted's the one with the girlfriend.
Yeah. Him being like, I want to tell her I love her. I don't know what I was
saying. Yeah.
But it was just so funny because I was like, you messed.
This,
like,
season, I mean, I've always loved the facts.
The facts were great.
But this season, I'm so sorry.
Can you spell me?
Just, definitely sprayed you, but it's fine.
But this season, the facts were, they were like,
yeah,
on point.
That was their. That was
only their comedy show.
That was their Super Bowl. That was their Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was their Super Bowl. They were so, so good. Like Neil and Ted, especially.
Mm.
Oh, they killed me, man. They are so funny. One of my favorite moments was I can't remember which episode it was, but like where they got the snow machine.
Yeah. Let's go back to that and then go back to Bear's fun. That was really good.
That was.
That's when they got their rating as well. Whoever was judging them.
Yeah, whoever was judging them and then whatnot. I was just like, oh man, that is so.
But it was natural. It was natural for Richie to go out of his way to make that happen, to be resourceful, to use the facts. Because the facts are useful.
Yeah.
The facts are so useful for the.
The floating has also got me. Like,
yeah.
The facts are so
what
funny.
The fuck you doing? Yeah. This is nice.
But I think importantly, I think I spoke to you about it, Manny. Importantly, this is when Kami let go.
Yeah.
And let everyone just do what they're good at. He set the menu.
Yeah, the minute the menu was set, I was like, Kami's actually dipping. Like, he's actually, toodles. Or very, like, just relinquish control. Like, you guys do your thing. Mm. That's the way it is.
And I think that allowed everyone to just be better at what they do. Bringing in Chef Luca was just great as well.
So Chef Luca was... So there's a really funny moment, yeah? We see Chef Luca and think he's friend, yeah?
Oh, when I meet him the first time.
When he got jealous.
No, I was watching it, yeah, like literally just now, yeah? I was laughing because I was like, this shit is so fucking funny. Because he brings it up for no reason, being like, oh, I'm going to go meet so-and-so. And he's like...
You're lying.
You're not. Like, why are you bullshitting?
It's the scene before that when he's talking to Sid and he goes, I just didn't know he was going to be that. Yeah. Like,
no, but the fact he said sexy was what was so funny, bro.
I was like, guys, that they wrote the scenes with Luca and Marcus very homoerotic.
Yeah, that's not that much.
Bro, there was one time they say, how does it taste like?
They're eating food.
No,
come on,
bro.
I didn't buy it.
And then was like, what was it say? What did he
say? I think
it's
subtle. I don't think they were like...
I think food as a whole is quite erotic anyway. Talking about food is erotic. So there's two men.
Season two, like their scenes are like very intimate.
Yeah.
Mm. Not sexual, just very intimate.
Yeah.
I think this one is intimate as always. But I think they added in like some words to make it more homoerotic.
I just think food as a whole is super erotic. I think because they're just in close proximity and they're making desserts.
Because Carmi did the same thing with Sid. Like he's like, she's like, how does it taste? Are we going to say that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I just felt.
I don't see it.
I didn't see it with the comments, anything though.
Exactly.
Because you're so against that ship, you won't even see if it's right.
No.
They could be fucking on screen, you won't even see it.
No, I would just be like, Sydney, why?
No, it just feels, as a whole, food feels really erotic. That's all it was for me. But that conversation right there, too funny.
How does it taste?
Jokes.
Like?
Jokes, guys, man.
I like it. Back to the Bear.
Yeah.
Or Bears, episode 7.
Loved it.
So many great conversations. So many like subtle moments. Even Tiff and cousin Michelle in bed together. Like we just learned so many like different things about the characters within the hour episode. Uncle Lee and Carmi.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah, same.
Go on, all yours.
Same. Even when you first came in, he's like, what the hell are you doing?
And you know, but I felt real. He's like, who the fuck are you?
And then he said, who invited you? Like, he said, what are you doing here? Then he was like, then he says some snarky ass answer. He was like, wait, no, clarification. Why are you actually here? Yeah. Perfect.
He's like, yeah, well, you invited me. But wait, we're just friends. And then him talking about, about me and Mikey before he passed away. We got close. And said, oh. And then he said something on the lines because I stopped trying to be his father. When they essentially became friends. And I thought that was such a nice touch to also highlight Mikey as a character, even with stuff that he said in episode 10. I don't know if you got to that part yet. But just to highlight who he was, especially coming towards the end of his life. And just the interactions and friendships that he actually made before he passed away. So the interaction with Uncle Lee, it was really shocking to me. I did not expect that. Because you can tell that Uncle Lee's a prick.
Yeah, he's like, a prick. But like, he doesn't hide it either.
He doesn't hide it. He's very much who he is. But it highlights like all the characters. They all have shittiness within them.
Mm.
But at the core of it, they are actually good people that want the best for themselves and the people around them. Sometimes they just don't know how to showcase that. And I think Uncle Lee's scene with Carmi kind of highlighted that to a T. It's like, yeah, I know I'm shitty, but I love your mum as my friend.
Yeah.
And I want the best for her. And I think you should go see her as well, which also leads to him going to see
but
her.
But he doesn't even say it though, right? And then like,
no, he doesn't.
No, he says it. Well, Uncle Lee doesn't say it. That's the thing.
He says
it, but he doesn't say it.
No, he says, I wouldn't be the one to. He starts doing when he stops.
Yeah, and he stops. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, like, Carmi thanks him for, like, thanks for not telling me to go see her. Like, I know what you're trying to do, but, like, no, that was beautiful. Like, on kind of like on that episode as well, I think the most beautiful interaction was, like, Uncle Jimmy and Tiff at the end.
Yeah.
Because she was talking about, like, how, like, thanks to the Bears for even being here and whatnot. Yeah. Like, her family, none of her family.
Made me laugh. I was thinking, how fucked up your family? The Bears.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. And then at the same time, I was just like, wow, like, I can't remember if it was in the same episode or later on where they mentioned that, like, almost all of the Bizzotto family members, like, they are so sensitive but feel things so deeply at the same time. And I feel like episode 7 just kind of like showed that with everyone, like all the people that they love, even Richie with Frank, where like Frank,
he lied to him, but for the sake of good,
and then that was a funny moment as well. But even then,
oh, when Claire was like, "Is that true?"
Yeah,
he's like, "Fuck no."
but even shows like how, because we haven't seen much of Frank before that, right? But Frank is such a good dude as well. Like, he has so much respect for Richie, where he's like, "Yo, I know that you're her real dad," and then I love the little corrections every time he talks about the father-daughter dance.
Yeah.
And he goes, stepfather-daughter dance. Because he's like, I don't want
to... overstep.
Type shit and whatnot. And
they were both insecure.
Yeah.
But obviously Richie kind of like lied a bit, but like it was still sweet that like, you know, they both have an insecurity about.
Needed to hear that as well, like from Frank. Yeah. To be like, yo, like every time you drop her off, all she does is talk about you, and he's like, right, because like I think before Forks, or even during Forks, like he has that fear where he's like,
I'm gonna be left behind.
Like, yeah,
he's getting left behind and stuff like that. Nah,
I think the scene under the table was really cool because I'm really powerful and poignant because it explored what I think the whole season was about, was like tackling your fears and growth. Like these characters aren't the same people that we knew them when we first met them in like season one, episode one. Mm-hmm. And they were all, even Calmly when he's like, he said his fear and then he had to like find another one, but he still expressed himself.
Yeah, it's the opposite of chaos, peace. So math.
and even like, one thing I'm going to say, Claire feels like a real character.
Oh, yeah. I'm not mad enough to anymore.
Calm me, you've got my blessing.
I was never mad, but like, I'm glad that she's gotten the writing she deserved.
Yeah.
And I think it makes more sense for the people saying like, oh, I feel like season three felt like half of a full season.
Oh, yeah.
Because now when you put everything in context together, it's just like, okay, you can see where the building blocks were for her to become a fully actual character.
She told him to fuck off, like she listened to him and she was like, you can't just come back into my life just like that. You still need to, you need to work on yourself. And the fact that he, I think the fact he went to the wedding was a signal to her
wedding, and went to go see his mum as well.
Yeah.
And then calling, and then calling her. Do you know, it's also, he's a piece of shit because he made sure that, just so you know, just so you know, not only am I a better person, I'm going to see, like, confront my demons head on. I was like, oh, boo! But I still love Kami.
I want to get my boo back, man.
In the past, haven't you?
You piece of shit. Maybe.
Imagine that hit too close to home.
I think the poignant thing about episode 7 is Frank is a bear. Tiff is a bear. Cousin Stephen was hilarious in this episode, by the way. He's a bear.
Cousin Stephen, who is
played by John Mulaney.
Oh, he did such a good job.
He was really good.
Also, he's got such a so funny voice. Like, what he says will always be hilarious.
That one conversation with the facts and Pete, and he goes, what the fuck do you not understand about this, Pete?
Yeah.
Like, uncle, why would you want to get a picture that you only own a piece of? I was like, oh, this guy, man, he's playing into
he was
them.
Great.
The fact that he's back, he's doing it for banter.
But he loves the bizarre. He's a bear. The facts are bears. Claire bear. Claire's a bear. And it kind of makes us all feel like bears. Like, I feel like I'm part of the... It's cheesy. It might sound corny, but I actually feel like I'm kind of like one of them.
Yeah, no, I hate you.
So, yeah, especially like when they're all taking the pictures at the end under the table. You're just like, I might as well put me in it. Yeah, I'm there.
No, I'm... Do you know... I don't know if it was meant to stand out, but when Kami's about to say his fear, then he gets interrupted because Marcus and... the rest of the facts come in underneath. I feel like he changed his answer a bit.
He did.
Like, yeah, and it's just like,
what do you think he was gonna say?
I feel like he was gonna bring up the fact that he, I don't know, I haven't watched episode 10 yet, so I don't know, but obviously Shapiro calls him in it. So I feel like he kinda knows something's happening here, but he doesn't really know it. And I feel like he's constantly on edge and wants to tell Sydney that he knows something but doesn't want to say it. I feel like he was gonna allude to it at that moment in time, started speaking, because it was Sydney that asked him, like, what's your fear? And then it's like, okay, something that they didn't know that I know. Like, they know that I'm not a peaceful person. They know I'm chaotic. So what's that? Okay, joke.
But they even made a joke about it as well. Yeah. And I really liked episode 7. Any other standouts? Episode 9 was fucking, man, when he goes to see mum.
I'm not sold on Donna being a better person.
What? It's not.
You're not.
I'm not. I don't know.
I mean, okay, maybe she's not a bad person, but you can see her trying.
I think her journey is kind of similar to Kami's. Like, I don't look at Kami as a better person. I look at him as a person and
he's making an effort.
He's making an effort.
I think Kami season 4 is a better person.
Oh. I think the two go kind of hand in hand. Like, because you're
more of Kami actually doing those steps to be better. But I think her, sorry to interrupt, just on my last point to Donna being better, like, when she's reading out her apology to him. I thought that was like a real moment.
Do you know, I think before that, it's when episode 3 when she's in the house with Uncle Jimmy's house and she's trying to sell it.
Yeah.
And you can just see like how committed she is to the act of getting this right. Mm-hmm. Where to the point she's even overthinking it, she's stressing herself, but you can see like there's an effort to committing yourself to one thing and doing it right, which is a sign that someone's making progress. Doesn't mean you're the better person yet, doesn't mean you're the final finished version of yourself, because we never are. But the steps to get there are, for me, what make people better people in the first instance, rather than the fully transformed version at the end.
The effort itself makes a better person.
But there any other? I mean, episode 9 for me was interesting because it's like 4 seasons of waiting for that to happen.
Yeah.
And even though Kami had seen the progress that she had made in episode 7 when he sees her, mm-hmm. and Uncle Lee tells him she's better, Natalie tells him like she wants to see you, mm-hmm. he was still like very much reluctant. But I think within, you know, when you have moments to yourself as a person when you're like, I don't want to do this, and then you're like, oh, I have to do this. He had that moment, he had that realization that he had to go see her to like conquer one of his other fears, which is seeing his mum, innit? And he's been doing it throughout the season. He's been doing things where he's like, I don't normally do this, but I'm going to do it. Mm. I'm going to change the menu, I'm going to set it. He made constant and very clear decisions. And I think this was like the biggest one for him. And when he made her the dinner, because all she had heard prior was, he's the best.
Yeah.
He's the best chef. He's such a good cook. Your son is so talented. But she'd never been able to experience it for herself, which is her fault. But the fact she got to experience it for herself and actually, rather than just hear about it, actually experience it, made me feel
like
something.
Just him cooking for her, like, even him being like, are you hungry? That's when I realised that Kami actually needs to go see the lady. Like, he needs to go really talk through things completely, because your mom just pulled out her heart to you and that, like, you kind of just sat there and cried. You don't know how to process it properly, and your almost immediate reaction is like, so, anyone eaten? And it's just like, Kami, I can want a tiny bit more from you, but not too much, because you still need to grow a bit more. And I think that was just like almost him not forgiving her, but him being like, I can feel that you're better.
I teared up, man.
Yeah, it's like, I can feel that you're better. So, yeah. But I'm not gonna lie, when she was talking, I kissed my teeth at one point. Graphicing.
It's still trying to work through it. Like, there's been a lot of times where, in this season, I think Melissa Kami's trying to like apologise. But his approach to apologising is a bit Kami.
He's his mother's son, that's yeah, what it is. Like.
But I get it, the intention is there. And I think one thing that made me realise about, not just this season, what made me realise what Kami's still grieving. And I think that's what the bet actually is for Kami, yeah. is his grief, his inability to let go. And I think it's only taken up to this season where he's finally starting to essentially forgive himself with how he acted on the back of Mikey's death, and actually be able to let go of the fact and understand the fact that his brother's actually gone. Because the main reason why he's at the bear is because his brother gave him, told him to, like to go over the business, and it's something that him and his brother have spoken about before. So I think this whole thing has been a thing about grief and letting go. So it's nice to see how it's, I don't want to say too much because episode 10, you haven't watched it.
Yeah,
you can ruin for me. I don't really mind.
No, I watched it for yourself.
Yeah. It's really special. I think it might be one of my
top. The acting from.
Okay, one thing, Jeremy Alamite. I know he's fantastic, and I know this. But this season,
special.
I was blown because he didn't say much. He wasn't the lead this season, so I was like, "Yo, he's really good at this."
Special, yeah.
Like everything he did, I was just like, "You're making me stressed out right now because he's stressed out."
Yeah.
Or that one scene with him, Richie, we spoke about earlier, in Scallops when it's all blue. Yeah, that right there when he's like,
"You still moping?"
Richie's so funny.
You still moping?
No, Richie's killing me. Yeah, because Richie's so He uses therapy jargon all the time, and it's so funny. He'll be like, it's performative.
Yeah. Is that the video I sent you?
Maybe.
If I didn't send the video recorded, I recorded that very scene.
So funny. Like, even when he was talking about his daughter to his ex-wife, yeah, being like,
oh my days.
He was like,
that was
Richie is so lucky.
That was
like,
so funny.
He's trying to be a better person, but he just knows loads of therapy jargon, and he's hitting us constantly with therapy jargon.
Yeah.
But I love it because
he's doing too much reading. He's reading too much.
Yeah. All he's doing is reading, no practice, and that's the only time for him to practice, and the practice is on like his child.
And I think that's why he keeps messing up. You know, when they're doing inspirational talks before they go out to work for the evening. Yeah, he's always like trying to think of the right thing to say. And sometimes it's like, let it rip, fuck it.
Yeah.
let's go. Like, and I think he did that for one of the like speeches, just like,
if it all starts applauding.
It's one of the facts, when he's like, oh, I don't feel like I belong here, and him being like,
this is your home, bro.
Yeah. And then he'd be like, hell yeah. Like, and his response wasn't even like a motivational one. It was like, fuck yeah.
It was real.
And I was like, this is actually the best speech he could have ever given anyone. If he did that before any of that doors open, it would have been perfect.
Because it's the positive side of Richie, but also the wiser side of Richie. It's not him just trying to be this wise guy who's well read. It's like, it's both. It's both of who he is.
Brilliant.
Do you know the scene in episode one? There's so many things I forget. It's when they're doing the maths for the bear, yeah. And then obviously Kami's bad at maths, innit?
As
no, but Kami is so. Do you know, that's my favorite part that they do in the bear, yeah. The little back and forth, yeah. I love the shouting scenes. It's the only show I like where they shout, yeah.
Okay.
But it's like when Kami says something wrong and they all like in chorus correct him, or something happens and it's correction. Then it again in
Francie.
And like, just there's loads of that.
Francie and Natalie.
I love it. It's my favorite thing, yeah. But in that scene, that was so fucking funny. That was so funny. Like him just being like, yeah, 20% or 30%. No.
No.
Comedy. I was laughing straight away.
This was the funniest and the most heartfelt.
I think
it's the best.
I haven't watched episode 10 yet.
And
so.
I think that might be my favorite episode.
I'm not mad at you.
Oh, so it really is the best season then?
I think
I've only watched 9 and I'm already saying it's the best season.
I think I'm going to put 10 ahead of Forks.
Okay, so. Oh, it might be good.
It's good.
Oh, I wish you didn't tell me that. I don't want to go in and know that. Fuck. I'm gonna
you might feel something different.
I really like the Bears, but also I enjoyed Scallops a lot.
I just got an episode.
I enjoyed that. Groundhog was really good in season 4. Tomato.
So Sophie, I like all the episodes.
Can we play a quick game with you? Can we play a game?
My baby Sophie.
When she brought, like, see, do you know what I love about that episode?
The kids this season.
Oh yeah, top tier.
Honestly, the best writing ever.
But do you know what I love about that episode so much? Because Kami calls Sugar to apologize for the fact that he hasn't seen his niece yet. And then Sugar thinks he's talking about the restaurant.
Yes,
sir. It's like, what? Like, no, wait, I'm not talking about the composer. I'm apologizing because I haven't seen your daughter yet.
Yeah.
And then she's like, yeah, but you've been busy. I know, but it's not right. I need to come and visit, blah, 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 so on and so forth. Conversation ends. So instead of her waiting for Kami to go and visit her,
yeah,
she brings the baby to the restaurant. Finds the middle ground. And one of us like, oh, Sugar is a
that's what MVP. She is my guy.
Sugar, you're an MVP,
you
bro.
Know, I want season 5, I want Sugar to be a terrible person.
No, man, why?
I'm sorry, man.
What's wrong with you, man?
Why is Sugar always bending the rule for everyone else? Like, she's always just so, like, my little.
Instead of being a bad person, she needs to get something good to happen. Like,
but we got to see, we got that in episode 7, I think, when she has her thing with Fran. Like, I think.
I don't think she has a crush on Fran.
They used to be together. They used to do a thing.
They were literally. Anyway, I was about to say something crazy.
Sisters. How can I lose?
All right, and we have been the Post Credit Scene Podcast. Lovers of film, TV, and theatre. Shout out, guys in the building, money in the film.
No, them two were definitely chopping out, though.
No, but that was her, like, we got to see her be, like, a piece of shit. Or, like, at least vent her frustration with somebody, like, for once. So I think I've seen enough of it.
But she missed, and the thing that's back, that frustration wasn't, like, they dislike each other. Like, they still very much care for each other. They're just, like, there's a lot of emotion.
By the way, Brie Larson, she might as well have been in the rest of the season. She slotted in seamlessly.
Because all you have to be is
the only character that's been added to the show that hasn't, John Cena.
Oh yeah, that was.
No, like,
yeah.
I'm not mad. I'm never gonna see him again.
Yeah.
I kind of miss him.
John Cena.
A tiny bit. I just not like a smidge. But I just love the facts. So I'm always gonna miss that.
I love that the dynamics because I love the facts.
Yeah.
But that could have been anybody else.
But the fact that to be a fact, you just kind of have to be a bit insane. Yeah.
But Francine, really like that character.
The guest appearance, the bear doesn't rarely misses with the guest appearances,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, they do a really
What's your game you want to do?
Okay, it's a game for you. Could you give us top 5 episodes of The Bear, including season 4?
Oh, gosh me, man. Oh.
One-liners as to why each episode you're putting it in.
That is hard. Okay.
You have to start with your 5th place.
That's on the spot. All right, cool. Number 5 is all right, let's be quicker. Number 5 is The Bear.
Okay.
Season 2, episode 10. I think it culminates a fantastic season of TV. It leaves things on the edge because we don't know what's going to happen in season three. Shot beautifully. Some of those scenes with Carmi and Richie on the opposite sides of the freeze are beautiful. Sydney takes charge and kind of lays the foundations for what happens at some point later on in the series, without spoilers. Number four is Napkins, season three, episode six. Tina, Mikey. Any scene Mikey's in, it feels so heartfelt and real. He's a great supporting actor, and Liza Colon Zayas, make sure I get her name right. She's so super talented. Number three might be Bears.
There we go. No, you're right. Don't overthink it. That's what you've given. Because you're correct.
Can I start again?
No. The Bears?
No, Bears is right. I want to change my fifth.
Nope.
Fuck you.
I love how we both said no. Yeah. It's only I got the smoke.
Sorry, kids.
No, don't apologise. It's fine. No one cares.
Yeah, Bears. Bears because it's like Fishes, but the opposite.
Yeah.
And it shows character growth and how they've evolved as people while still giving us what we know of these people. They are tapped.
Yeah.
Still gave us that. Number two. Is
number two Fox.
Yeah, it is, man. But I'm not sure how I feel about this ranking because you can't clip this because I don't like this. Yeah, number two's Fox and number one's Fishes. But I feel like I should have episode 10 in here of season four. I can't lie to you.
Breathe, it's fine.
No, I want to change, man.
No,
I'm changing, man. So, kids, at number five, I do have season four, episode 10. Because, and the reason why,
goodbye.
The reason why Io, Jeremy Allen White and Ebon Moss-Backrack, some of the best acting that's been done in the entire series.
You know the only thing that I think that could have made the episode better was if it was a one shot.
I need to watch this episode. Fucking hell, man.
It could have been.
Yeah.
Oh, because they cut some scenes. Yeah, it could have been. Yeah, it could have been. Yeah.
There are some moments in the bed that I wish were shot at once.
Kid said we need to hurry up, so we should keep talking.
Yeah, exactly. I was ignoring him.
I think we only had one episode that's one shot, innit?
Yeah.
That was like but episode was... seven or season one?
Okay, so my definitive ranking, yeah?
Yeah.
Napkins, season three, episode six. Number four is season four, episode 10. Number three is Bears. Number two is Forks. Number one is...
Fishes.
I think those... That's not my order, but I think those are my five as well.
On the spot, that's a good response.
Yeah. I think that's my five.
But imagine missing out like Honeydew. That's crazy.
It's fine. Like,
bro.
iShip should have been in there, but that's fine.
iShip's Honeydew. What's the episode seven of season one?
Review.
Yeah.
When she fucks up the
she stabs Richie.
Oh yeah.
Guys, let's give our ranking for season. Alright, let's do this quick task. One last task. Ranking for season four. I mean, in terms of score, and then I rank season one to four.
Okay.
So what's your score for season four first?
Out of 10.
9.5.
Out of 10, I'm going to give it a 9.
9.5.
But I think it's great. But
do you know what? Let me come down. Let me
I'm a 9.
Go 9. Let me go 9.
I'm a 9. 9 out of 10.
You went a 9 as well?
Yeah. What's your ranking, 1 to 4?
4, 2, 1, 3.
Yeah.
4, 2, 1, 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Post Credit Scene Podcast. Kiz is fucking being a fucking miserable C-U-N-T. So we need to get out of here. We are the Post Credit Scene Podcast, 14 HQ Original, lovers of film, TV and theatre. Hope you've enjoyed today's experience. We gave you a dual sort of experience.
Mm-hmm.
F1, The Bear. Make sure you go check them out. Make sure you check us out as well on all platforms.
Hit and subscribe and leave us comments on Spotify. We'll read them out next week if you leave them.
Yes, sir.
And we'll also read out some comments as well. Why not, man? We love you.
Not everyone, like Josh, saw that, bro.
No.
I've run out.
Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post Credit Scene Podcast.